I believe there's a way to build your real estate business that feels right to you, where our thoughts, words, emotions, and actions are all aligned. Welcome to the Authentic Agent Podcast, a place where we help the motivated but lost professional cut through the industry noise and find intention and purpose. We've worked with thousands of real estate agents on business development and strategies to increase their performance and build professional trust by taking consistent, strategic, and most importantly, authentic action that feels right to them. We believe that our businesses grow in direct proportion to how much we grow as people, and by intentionally working on ourselves and our business, we can raise the standard of professionalism for our entire industry. I'm Brandon Tracy. I'm here to help you find clarity and build momentum so you can take on the challenges of our industry with confidence and joy. Authentic Agent is about growing, learning, and being an agent for authenticity in your life and business.
Well, let's dive back into stress management and how we've spoken about this to our team over the past month, because this has really been a hot topic for us and a team, because we were talking about this before we really jumped on here, which is our agents on our team have felt the stress and the defeat of the competitive market right now. But we've been able to really change the narrative of the stories that we tell ourselves and sharing our wins. And I mentioned to you earlier, it's been a really incredible to see the transformation of how we're speaking again after the past several weeks. You know, several weeks ago, agents were feeling really defeated. I don't want to say negative. I want to say that they were feeling defeated because it is so competitive right now. But for the first time in several weeks now, the positive sharing of our wins, the encouragement, just the influx of positivity has really been able to shine, which has been really incredible.
Yeah. And like we said, it's really good that us as leaders in our business are also facing some incredible challenges as we continue to grow and build aspects of our business and evolve as a result of the pandemic and what we do and how we engage our agents and everything in our business has been changing, evolving, and growing. And, you know, so we're all feeling this like sense of like, wow, this last year has been really uncomfortable. And now we've approached a year of doing this. And I think everybody's really feeling like, you know, this is difficult. This is hard. There's new stresses involved, whether it's, you know, the pandemic or the virus or masks or politics or, you know, I mean, there's a million different, you know, new stressors that are, you know, really challenging people. So the idea here is, you know, stress management and its role in entrepreneurship. And if we're being fair here, like its role in life.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, it's like, this has been a hot topic for us because what we felt was we felt it. Like we're so connected and engaged with our business and our agents that you can just start to feel when the temperature rises, you know, in the business, and you start to sense the kind of conversations, and you start to see the comments on social media. And if you're watching those things and you're engaged with what's happening, you can start to see things turn a little bit and you can get a sense for how people are feeling. And I think as leaders, whether you're leading an organization, a team, or you're a self-leader, right? Because you like self-leadership precedes leadership. They're one and the same. You're either leading yourself, you're leading your family, you're leading your team, you're leading your brokerage, you're leading your business, whatever it is. Like you're not going to avoid the concept of leadership if you're leaning into life and progressing through life. So what we want to do is we want to say, well, okay, well, what do we need to learn? What do we need to do? And what kind of narrative or conversations do I need to surround myself with to help me through this, right? To help me take responsibility for curating a healthy mindset around the challenges that I'm going to face today and tomorrow in my industry, in my market, in my family, whatever it is. And we forget, I think, way too often as agents or as people, as leaders, whatever it is. So many of us forget that the single most important asset in your business is you.
Right.
And like we get so caught up in this idea of like hustle porn and grit and grind and yada, yada, yada. And listen, like you have to work hard. Like you're not going to find success passively flowing through life. Like you're going to have to work hard, but working hard we need to take a more holistic approach to what working hard means. So, you know, if the most important asset in your business is you, then like that means doing the inner work to take care of yourself. Take care of yourself mentally, emotionally, physically. Like these things have incredible value to your business. And when you see that inner work as a means to improve your overall life, whether that's performance in business or joy and happiness, when you see that inner work as as a means to improving all of that, instead of as an escape from, you know, the strategic day-to-day efforts that require, you know, that are required for us to produce results in our business. Those, like, it's both. It's an and both conversation. And we say this all the time in our business that, you know, and I truly wholeheartedly believe that your business grows in direct proportion to how much you grow as a person, because they're so intertwined.
Right. Yeah. So let me ask you this, for people who might be listening, for you, is there ever, like, what triggers you to know, you personally, to know that, okay, it's time for me to just step back for a moment and recharge? Because so many of us, we're just so caught up in the day to day. And for me, like, I don't ever really want to ever stop working. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I love, like, the energy that I get from it every day. But what triggers you to know, okay, I need to take a step back? Is there something that happens to you, or does somebody say something to you and you're like, oh, maybe I need to take a break?
Yeah. Well, I think before I got real serious about, you know, the inner work and its impact on my outer work, I would recognize it simply by, like, burnout, frustration. I would be exhausted. And, like, it's when you're in that and you're not doing the inner work to understand and be aware of what's happening, why it's happening, and the role you play as an individual to making that happen, what that does is it has a tendency to spiral out of control. And it spirals out of control in the form of victimhood and complaining and negativity. And the problem with that, those three words, victimhood, negativity, complaining, is that they recruit to themselves so incredibly well. They're such efficient recruiters. Negativity recruits to itself so efficiently. And you see this in your peers, and you'll see this in yourself sometimes. And I saw this in myself as well before I started kind of, you know, getting a little bit better understanding of what my role was in my life, like how much responsibility I had to my life. And when you're feeling down, it's just really easy to complain and recruit people to, you know, your narrative. And then all of a sudden you're just giving that part of your brain more fuel.
Right.
And that's the thing about the brain, right? So, like, in neuropsychology, they talk about left brain. You know, that's where our language comes from. That's where the chatter of your mind, like that voice in your head. Like, if I told you to say apple in your head right now, you just say it in your head, you'll find that the voice in your head is coming from your left brain. So whether it's your left brain or your ego, or Eckhart Tolle calls it the pain body, whatever it is, the brain wants more of whatever you're fueling it.
Right. That is true.
Yeah.
Whether it's negative or positive.
Yeah. So you can take either a passive or proactive approach to the understanding of what your brain is doing. And first, step away from the idea that, one, you're not your thoughts. You're not your thoughts. So understanding where your thoughts come from and, you know, why they're happening the way that they are is awareness. And awareness is such a key factor to personal and professional growth, because we first have to become aware of our thoughts and their role in, you know, our inner thoughts are playing a role in our outer life. I sent you a quote yesterday. I said, and it says, thoughts can produce effects only of the same nature, right? Thoughts can produce effects only of the same nature. So we hear this a lot, especially in business, you know, that, you know, what you think about expands, or, you know, there's a lot of different sayings about that stuff, and think positively and yada, yada, yada. But we never really get to a place where we're like, okay, well, what role can, like, what is my responsibility to that? And how does that impact my life and my business? So that was, like, before I was doing the inner work and understood that was my responsibility. That's how it would show up. I'd feel bad. So I would just seek out the conversation about me feeling bad and try and recruit to that conversation. And then I would give people permission to feel bad. And then it was just like a spiraling of bad feelings. And I was just giving my brain more and more of what it wanted to validate how I felt, right?
Well, I guess my next question to you would be this. I sent you this article a week ago about external processors and internal processors. Mm. So is there a healthy way to vocalize your struggles and your feelings without trying to bring other people to your negative thoughts? Or maybe you're just trying to heal. Maybe you're just trying to talk about this, because it's the way that you process it is by speaking it out loud to a neutral person. And you're really just trying to hopefully the person that you're going to is a healthy, strong-minded person who can just listen to you. Is there a healthy way of doing that without, you know, like you said, like, bringing other people down or recruiting them to your negative thoughts?
Yeah. You used a very important word there, neutral. Like, it's not just about the other person being neutral. It's about, can you objectively look at those thoughts neutrally as well? right? Or are you completely caught up in the emotion of those thoughts as if they are you? And then are you recruiting, you know, are you having that conversation from an emotional victim standpoint? Or are you saying, you know what, I'm aware of these thoughts. I'm aware that they're not me. I'm aware of why they're there and where they're coming from. I'm frustrated. I'm a little burned out. Here's my experiences. And you lean into a community of people or your coach or your mentor, and you lean in from a neutral standpoint, right? Not a victim standpoint, but a neutral standpoint. Like, why am I, like, help me through this? Like, is anybody else experiencing this? Mm-hmm. And I love this. I said this in our leadership email this week. The workplace, our workplace, but specifically like what we're curating at BTG, is a fantastic place for that discussion, because I don't shy away from it as a leader. And when we start to see our businesses as a conduit for personal and professional growth, we actually position ourselves to take a more holistic approach to building our lives. And like, that includes that, all that, the interpersonal battle that you fight in building a business, the self-doubt, the imposter syndrome, the fear, the rejection, the burnout, like all of that is part of building a business. We're being challenged as entrepreneurs every single day, as agents, every single quarter, there's a new challenge, right? We're having to evolve with the market conditions, with the market disruptors. Like, in the process of growing and building, you're going to be challenged a lot. And when we're challenged a lot, it means that we're uncomfortable a lot. And that requires us to take some decent care of our inner state and the way that we flow through life and business. It's not a weakness, right? Like, people see this conversation as, well, I don't want to do that. I'm not weak. Like, you're weak if you don't accept this, because this is reality. This is life unfolding right in front of you, and you're just ignoring it, right? So we don't ignore those things. And listen, this is what we got into business to do. This is what we got into the real estate industry to do: build lives worth living and businesses worth owning. Like, you're not going to do that passively by just focusing on, you know, lead generation and contracts. Those are two incredibly important aspects of building a successful real estate business. But there's a lot that goes into being great at those two things beyond script practice and you know, being able to set good expectations. There's that, like, can you handle the nuances of that from client to client, from cross-agent to cross-agent, the different emotions and behaviors and the different challenges that every market brings. So, you know, you got to be willing to have the conversation, I guess, from a neutral standpoint and accept all the things that come along with building a business. Personally, and very, very selfishly, I love bringing that conversation to light, because people that are growing and succeeding in life and business are the best people to be around. We're not stuffing stuff down and ignoring the realities of life and business and the challenges that we face personally. We're not stuffing any of that away. We're also not going to complain about it. We're just going to very neutrally bring it and say, this is a thing that happens. Who else is experiencing this? We normalize it for everybody so they don't feel so freaking alone with the feelings that every human has. And then we say, now, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to grow? And then we empower ourselves and each other to stop pretending that these things aren't real. And we lean into them as a group, as a community, and we conquer these things, right? We enjoy that. I say this at the end of all my leadership emails to the team: enjoy the journey. Our businesses grow as we grow. Like, this is part of the journey. We can find joy in it. We don't have to suffer our way through challenges.
So for other leaders listening to this conversation, how can they implement this conversation into their team or their business, if they've never talked about this before? Because maybe it's a sensitive topic. So how do you as a leader bring it to the attention, or start just implementing these strategies or these conversations into your business if you haven't done that before?
Well, I think the answer, the most honest answer I can give is, I don't know that there's a specific way that's the right way to bring this. I'll share with you how I've done it. All I do is share my own journey. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely committed to growth. I'm absolutely committed to getting myself untangled and unstuck with the things that cause me to, you know, not lean forward and break through in my own life and business. It's very, very easy once you start engaging in this conversation, engaging in this content, reading these kind of books. And you're not going to have to go far to find this content in books. Like, basically every top CEO, business person, autobiography, podcasts about failures, how I built this, like, they're like, all of these things are about people overcoming their own perceived limitations and the inner work that they did to, you know, get past those things. How did they get past failures? Right? How did they grow as a person and in turn grow their business? Like, it's everywhere if you just look for it. And instead of just reading books to check them off the list and say, hey, and get to tell your you know, your social media followers, I read this book, like, read it to understand it. Where is this showing up in my life? how can I, like, let me try this. Let me put it into action. Let me be the scientist of my own life. I'm going to test this and see, I'm going to gather my own data on this. I'm going to start doing this and see what my real life experiences tell me. And then all I do is just share the whole process. Like, I just get super vulnerable about it and super honest about it and say, you know, there's not a person in our business that doesn't know that we're like, when I'm leading a leadership conversation or a podcast or an email, I say this all the time. I'm basically talking to myself, right? Like, I'm saying, Brandon, you got some work to do, man. Like, okay, here's how we're going to do it. Here's what we're going to focus on. And here's what you learned this week. I'm not like a guru. I'm not at a place where there's no destination to reach. That's the fun part about like leadership and growth. It's not about reaching a destination like that. That's what people like that develop kind of a spiritual ego. They think that they've like progressed to a certain point, and then they've attached that progression to a sense of, you know, I'm further along, or I'm better. Like, none of that's real. Like, you're just investing in yourself, and you're sharing that journey, and you're showing other people that they can do it too.
So then my next question is, once a leader is to start sharing this information, or like you started sharing it, did you notice right away the change in how the other people in our industry or in our business and on our team, did you notice a change in them also being more vulnerable and sharing their experiences, or just being impacted by what the message that you were sharing? Did you notice it changing them, or do you think it took a long time for you to recognize that this was impacting us?
It's taken me a while to see that it was impacting people, right? Because I was going to do my own journey, and I was going to share it, and I was going to implement it into our business because of my belief in, you know, if I can help people overcome, you know, whatever limitations or stuck feelings or experiences they have, then I'm going to help them be better business people, because that's where fear and reluctancy comes from. And I think that, you know, along the 10 years that I've been trying to lead people through building real estate businesses, the number one thing that keeps people from really building a business is actually themselves. It's not leads. It's not opportunities. It's not anything. It's themselves. We just like, all of us humans have this stuck stuff inside of us. And that's where fear comes from. That's where self-doubt and the imposter syndrome comes from. And if we can't help people overcome those things, it's going to be very difficult for us to have the kind of impact that we want to have on them through leverage systems, processes, leads, culture, whatever that is. Like, in order for us to enhance the effectiveness of those business things, like, we got to help them, you know, get unstuck inside as well. So I felt pretty vulnerable as I started to share it in the beginning, because I kind of felt like I was on an island. I'm like, man, is this going to be received well? But I was like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about outside judgment. I know how impactful this has been for me. I'm reading and experiencing how impactful it's been for very, very successful people all throughout the world. And I don't need to have arrived at a specific destination or to be qualified to a certain degree to be a conduit for the information. And I think that's an important thing here is, as a leader, like, our job isn't to position ourselves as heroes, right? Know-it-alls. It's about positioning ourselves as guides. And when you see yourself as a guide and a conduit for the information that already exists, you're just passing that information through.
Right.
And then it like, if you're like me and you're a little bit, you know, reluctant to position yourself as some know-it-all hero, you know, person, this is really a great concept to work under, because I can be a guide. I can be a conduit for information. I can be a test subject for my people, right? I can be an example. I can be those things. I can lean into those things with a great deal of pride and enthusiasm. So, you know, I think that it's really important that if you're going to do this, you be very careful. And I even maybe in the beginning started to develop a spiritual ego or a leadership ego around these things. And then I realized I was just, you know, my ego was holding on, and that was my own insecurities that were showing up and still really needing to be seen as an authority. And I've just since realized how pointless it all is. Like, you just be a conduit and help people grow. And that's much easier to do as a guide than it is as a hero.
That is very true. That is very true. But so many people that we know or have come in contact with, they pride themselves on being the hero, right?
Yeah,
that's hard to overcome or recognize that in yourself.
Yeah, it is. And I've certainly, you know, tried to adapt that in the past as I've seen it modeled in our industry before, and thought, you know, maybe that's how I'm supposed to be too. But, you know, that's not an indictment on people. Like, like a lot of those people aren't actually trying to do that. They just think that that's what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And if they were shown a different or better way, I guarantee you so many of them would just be, they'd just take a big sigh of relief and go, oh, okay. Right. Like, this feels so much more authentic to me to do it this way. So, you know, I mean, they're just modeling what society has given them. I was listening to a podcast this morning that the guy that was on there was talking about, like, you know, we've heard this, don't compare your insides to other people's outsides, you know, that kind of stuff. But we all have social masks that we put forward. It's the roles that we play in social environments to protect our ego and to make ourselves look or feel important. And we all do that. I do that. You do that. Everybody does that. But what happens is we all know ourselves very intimately inside. We know our security, our insecurities and our fears and all of those things. And we bring those to the table every single day. And that's where we are comparing our insides to other people's outsides, right? We're comparing all of the realness of who we are and what we experience as people, as business people, as humans in our lives and business every day. We're comparing all of that to somebody else's snapshot.
Yeah.
And the snapshots are usually emphasizing a more hero-y aspect of you know, this thing, because we're insecure and that's the person we want to put forward. So, yeah, you know, it all really circles back to awareness. Like, once you start becoming aware, you start to separate from it a little bit. You start to see yourself not as your thoughts, but as the self, as the witness of the thoughts, as the witness of the emotions, as the witness of the things that are happening. And you start operating from a much calmer, clearer space. And that takes that inner work. And we need that inner work to overcome our own perceived limitations and push forward, you know, free of fear and full of hope.
I think that really circles back to the beginning of this conversation about talking about how important it is to manage our stress and to take time to reflect and to take time to just breathe when we're feeling overwhelmed, and trust that the people around you in your business, you can use them as leverage. That's what they're there for. And you can take time to reflect and spend time with your family, spend time with yourself, give yourself permission to do that because you need it so that you can be coming back at 100%. Mm-hmm. You have to do that for yourself, for your clients, and for your business.
Yeah. And you want to deliberately transform yourself before you have a painful wake up call, right? Like, you just get out ahead of these things before they have a, you know, really bad impact on your business, before you break down, or you want to get out and deliberately transform yourself here by being proactive and doing the work, so that when the painful, you know, when the hard moments come up, you're ready to handle them and you don't have to suffer these painful wake-up calls. And the more we transform through deliberate practices, like, the less we have to transform through those painful moments. We'll finish with this, but you sent me that article last week about, you know, managing your time and your energy. And that article was interesting because it talks about, in physics, energy is defined as the capacity to work. And energy comes from really four main wellsprings in human beings. And one is the body. Two is the emotions, three is the mind, and four is spirit. And in each of those four things, energy can be systematically expanded and regularly renewed. And here's the key: by establishing specific rituals. And by rituals, I mean behavior that is intentionally practiced and precisely scheduled. Mm-hmm. So when you read that, that doesn't mean like, hey, go on vacation every now and again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're seeing science is catching up with so much of, like, the science in the West is catching up with so much of, you know, the spirit, you know, part of things. What I hear, what I see from a business perspective when I read that is your morning routine, scheduling specific things in your life that give you energy. And, you know, that might look like exercise, that might look like meditation, that might look like, you know, what are those things that renew your body, your emotions, your mind, and your spirit? Because if you are renewed there, if you're fresh there, if you're clear there, you're going to bring a better person to your business. It's like baking with better ingredients. You might do the same work, but you're just going to do it from a different place, a better place. And that usually that usually means better results as well. And the whole point to, you know, really getting those practiced and precisely scheduled is, you know, you have a goal of making them unconscious and automatic. You want to make that a part of your life. So I love that because, you know, my morning routine just keeps getting more and more validation the more I read and learn, and you start to see it show up in places like this. So you really got to be thinking, like, how can I schedule time to take care of myself in a very intentional and strategic way, so I bring my best self to my life, my best self to my family, and my best self to my business.
Yeah, I love that too, because each of us have something different that rejuvenates us. And it could even be something as simple as, you know, spending time with your family, spending time with your kids. I know Kyle goes for a walk every morning with his wife and son, and that's part of his morning routine. Sometimes it's just spending time with people who fill you up, right? Yeah. Who fill you up with joy. And that can be so rewarding in so many ways, right? And you just come into the day feeling so refreshed. But like you said, it could also be meditation or yoga, praying in the morning, journaling, so many different options.
Yeah. I think the key is too, is scheduling. Like, you make it a strategic thing that you do for yourself and your business and not an escape. Because a lot of people use it an escape from the work, the actual work they have to do to produce. Like I said, in the beginning, like you do those things to improve your overall performance, not to escape your responsibility to do the work. They need to be together. And when you see them as together, you honor them as together. It puts you in such a better position to succeed.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us again today as we have another incredible and candid conversation around stress management and taking care of yourself and your mind so that you can serve your clients to the best of your abilities. Here are the key takeaways from today. Number one, so many of us forget that the single most important asset to your business is you. Doing the inner work to take care of yourself mentally, emotionally, and physically has incredible value to your business. Number two, the workplace. Our workplace is a fantastic place for that discussion. When we start to see our businesses as a conduit for personal and professional growth, we position ourselves to take a more holistic approach to building our lives. Number three, after all, that's what we got into this industry to do, right? It was to build lives worth living and businesses worth owning. And don't forget that people who are growing and succeeding are the best people to be around. Number four, we want to deliberately transform ourselves and our people or clients so that we start learning and growing before we have a painful wake-up call. Number five, the more you transform through deliberate practices, the less you have to transform through painful moments. This is why we emphasize engagement, education, and we practice the way that we do. When we minimize how much we learn the hard way, we start to realize the advantages so that we may see how to impact our clients in the very same way. Thanks so much for joining us today.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Authentic Agent Podcast. If you feel like we're making a positive impact on our industry and you want to help us connect to new listeners and continue our journey, please rate the show and leave a comment on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Share our podcast with anyone you know that is looking for a more authentic way to build their business. Follow us on social media and join our community at the Authentic Agent Series website. Enjoy your journey and remember, our businesses grow in direct proportion to how much we grow as people. Until next time, remember to abandon average and commit to growth if you want to obtain excellence.